memories of days when we had an overhead projector and a small kid turning overlays. Remember those days, Chuck? Yeah, okay. Big job, yeah. You better believe it. We had some folks that tried it and didn't make it. They were just, you know, taken out of the picture. It's a big deal to be the overlay putter-upper. Yeah. Turn over in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. We're going to look this morning at the works of God in our study through John. And it's necessary that we put on our thinking hats this morning. Okay, don't do tune in, tune out stuff. That can be get you in trouble this morning. All right, it surely can. Let's read these three verses, 12, 13, and 14, John 14. Truly, truly, Jesus is speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. At first glance, and first reading, and first application, a lot of misunderstandings can go with these verses, and have, throughout Christendom. Unfortunately, many have become confused. Many have felt betrayed when what they thought they could do or were going to do didn't happen. Many have been felt like they've been lied to, deceived, because of their interpretation of these passages. I want us to deal with this passage today so that that doesn't occur. It still happens. It still happens in this town. It happens everywhere there's a Christian witness, as people would read the Scripture, and a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation is what caused it. So what I want us to look at this morning will be the framework of Jesus' teaching here, the focus of his teaching, and finally, the formula that he shares with us over here to bring what he's talking about to fruition, to fulfill the teaching. Okay, the framework, the focus, and the formula to bring this teaching to completion or fruition, however you want to say it. All right, let's start with the framework, okay? And as you and I look at any passage of Scripture, we always want to be careful, what's it saying? And not to put anything in there that's not, okay? And not to take out anything that's there. But to gain an understanding, and to do that, we must be careful to look at the context of the passage. Not the context of our lives, not the context of something we heard somewhere else, but what is the Word saying? So the first thing we see here, I want us to look at, first of all, the verification of this teaching. The verification is from Jesus Christ, God the Son. As we looked at last week, He is in the Father is in Him. And what He says is, truly, truly, I say to you. So the first thing that we need to create this framework around is the fact that this is truth. What He is teaching is true. And we know that everything that God says is true. Your King James versions may say verily, verily, it means the same thing, okay? So what Jesus is saying, what I am about to tell you is truth. In fact, it's emphasized truth. The second thing in this framework is the foundation. What I am saying to you is for a select group of people. All right, let's look at it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me. Now that's a precondition, a prerequisite to the fulfillment of this teaching. This is not for every person out on the street. This is not for everybody who has a sick child at home and they want that child better or whatever. This is for those who believe in me. We must make sure that we understand that. Potentially, it's for everybody, but the prerequisite is to believe in me, believe in Jesus, okay? And now the action, the verification, the foundation, now the action. And this is probably what caught your attention a minute ago. Will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Now what Jesus is talking about are works. W-O-R-K-S, works. And the works he references are his works. And what he is saying that is true is for those who believe, greater works will they do than I have done. Not only will they replicate the works I've done, but they will also magnify the works and do greater works. Now, it's the action where we usually get in the weeds on this passage. That's where it starts causing us the problem, okay? You see some, and we may have some here, I don't know, okay? We're not cutting around corners to, don't mean to offend anybody, but I want you to hear this morning what he's saying. Some see this as a spiritual credit card. Just name it and claim it. Here's my card, do it. Jesus said so. I can do the works he did, and I can do greater works than he did. Here's a card. Some see it as a genie in a bottle. You know, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I want to see happen. Do it. Do it. Jesus said so. Some would be on thin ice here when they do this for self-edification or self-glory. I've been around those folks. You can go home and turn on the television over there around the Fox News channel. If you have DirecTV, and you're going to find several shows, programs on today of church services, etc. And a lot of what we're talking about is going on those channels. You hear language like, I can do miracles, spoken by those who would interpret this in this way. All I need is enough faith. Did you notice that faith is not mentioned here? In these passages 12, 13, and 14, faith is not mentioned. Did you notice that? All right. I can do everything and more than Jesus did. Jesus said so. And you'll hear coming from individuals of this persuasion, I command you. I was sitting with a person praying. Oh, it's been, you know, maybe not more than a year ago. And this person said, I command you, Lord. And I started backing up, okay? They were serious. They were sincere. If I want it, name it and claim it. I lived in these circles, kind of on the fringe, okay, back in the early 70s. There was sweeping through this land, I don't know what to call it, okay? Some people call it the Jesus movement and different names and this kind of thing, but there was a real heavy charismatic flavor to everything. And I can remember the little town where we lived in. We were, you know, this was sweeping, blowing through, however you want to describe it. And I remember reading a book a guy gave me to read, and this person said, anything you desire, just name it, and you'll get it. And then this lady proceeded to tell about she had a craving for banana splits that were produced in the drugstore when she was a little girl. And she said, I want a banana split, Lord, okay? And I'll let you qualify it if you want to. Supposedly an airplane brought her a banana split from that drugstore. I'm not, you know, it's not mine to judge, okay? But, boy, I tell you what, it got whatever. And I can remember in that day, one of the best friends I've ever had, name was Oscar Thorpe. And Oscar Thorpe came up here from Texas, Amarillo area, and he bought a big old ranch over around Joplin, started raising Simmental cattle. And Oscar and I really got close. I mean, we walked with each other. We would be up into the wee hours of the morning. We didn't have any kids in those days. And there were a group of us that would be up into the wee hours of the morning just studying the Word and pray. And Oscar got sick. He was up to church one day painting, and he couldn't stand on the ladder. And he's a man in his mid-30s, had four kids. Oscar went to the doctor, and in those days they didn't have all the, you know, CAT scans and PET scans and that kind of thing they have today. In those days they did exploratory surgery. And so after a few weeks they operated, and Oscar was just filled with cancer, and they gave him 6 months to live. Oscar died. We prayed that he be healed, okay? We claimed his healing in Jesus' name. I'm not putting light on that in any way, okay? We believed that he was going to be healed, that God had a lot of work for Oscar to do yet, and we prayed that he be healed, and Oscar died. They were going to have his funeral and burial back in Texas, and his wife asked me to be a pallbearer with some of the other guys that were in the Bible study group. I refused to go. I was mad. I was mad at God because I claimed Oscar's healing and it didn't happen. Joanna went. She rode down there with some other folks. I didn't go. And I was there in our little old apartment there in Sarcoxie, Missouri. And I was having a pity party. I was mad at God. Folks, I can't explain to you what it looked like, what it smelled like, or how it happened. But he filled that little apartment, and he said, "Listen, I am God, and I will do what I want to do when I want to do it." Best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing that ever happened. But we still hear, and folks can read this passage, and you hear them saying, "I command you, release this disease, be healed. I claim such and such in the name of Jesus," and expecting it to be done. Most of the folks that I've been around have created an exit ramp once they make these statements, etc. It doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, typically it doesn't. And they say, "Well, you didn't have enough faith." And then individuals are just beat up, okay, because I could be healed of this disease, or this could happen in my marriage, or whatever it is, and it's my fault. I didn't have enough faith. Well, that's the framework of this teaching. I want to establish some truths before we move on, and that is that God still does miracles, okay? That God is still involved in and with His creation, that's you and me. That God is full of mercy. He loves. He's a God of grace. He is kind. He is sovereign. And He's eternal. That has not changed. Those characteristics that we examined here a week or so ago, those have not changed. But He is not a reactionary God or a temporary God. All right, that's the framework. Now let's look at the focus of this teaching. We know that this teaching is true. We know His teaching is for those who believe, okay? And we know that His teaching is about works. We know those things. Both a replication of the works He has done and even exceeding the works that He did when He was here. Let's get to the bottom of this, okay? All right. His focus in this teaching, and He says so in these three verses, His focus, if you'll read over there, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the focus here. Wouldn't you think if you're doing greater works than Jesus, the focus should be on you or me? But that's not the case. What he says here very plainly, to take this whole passage in the context that we have it, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, not that you feel better, not that you have a better day, not that you get the next job, not that your husband or wife treats, none of that. No, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the focus of the passage. How is God most glorified? The focus of the passage being that, his focus is on what? Is his focus on helping us feel better, making us feel better, having a good day? Is that his focus? Go ye therefore and have a good day? No, his focus is on his kingdom. We can only come to grips with this passage when we understand that the focus of this passage is to bring glorify the Father in the Son, and the way that that is done is by the advancement of his kingdom. His kingdom is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of people. That's what his focus is on. Everything else that we're a part of is temporary. You may be having a good day today, but wake up tomorrow and things may change. You may be happy, healthy, and whatever today, wake up tomorrow and that may not be the case. Am I not speaking truth? His focus can't be on the feel-good stuff of life. His focus is on his kingdom. His focus is not creating a birthday party atmosphere where there's ice cream and presents all around all the time. But oh, how we built that into our mindset. That's what we want. We want to feel good, have everything we want when we want it. And if I change my mind, I want that too. Here's the key. The context and the meaning of works. The context of the works is the kingdom. The kingdom. The works are those that bring that glorify the Father in the Son. Now, what works? What are the works that Jesus is talking about? The works of Jesus. The works that he did while he was here, and exceeding that are the works that we would do after he is gone, those who believe, okay, that are greater than what he did. The works of Jesus were in the context of the kingdom, and we've already looked here a little bit earlier. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe, he said to the disciples, the 11, believe on account of the works. So the purpose of the works that Jesus did when he was here was to verify who he was. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. You start turning water into wine. You start raising the dead, healing the crippled and the blind, and that's going to draw a crowd. He has come forward and said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And he said, if you don't believe the words of God, at least believe the works. I am who I say I am, and here is the verification for it. So his purpose was to verify who he is. So the terminal point here can't be just to fix the stuff that we think are broken in our lives. It's a bigger picture. It's a bigger context. You see, if God's purpose is only to fix the things that are broken in our lives and in the world, excuse me, he failed. If that's the focus, folks, if that's what this is about, he missed it. He's not able. He's not all powerful. So you see, it can't be just those works that he did while he was there that we focus on, the ones that verified who he was, the ones that attracted people to his kingdom message, because a lot of people got sick and died when Jesus was here. And a lot of people have got sick and died since then, and all kinds of tragedies. Where's God, people say? Well, why would God let that happen? Folks, it has to be, you can only understand this if we understand it in the context of the kingdom. It can't be understood here. This is temporary. This is temporal at best. God still does miracles, but he doesn't do them in every situation for every person who wants them or doesn't want them. You see, the question I think we have to deal with right now, so what is God's purpose? Is God's purpose to make people happy or to make people holy? That's the best way I can sum it up. God's purpose is to make us holy, like Jesus, conform to the image of Jesus Christ. If we are in Christ Jesus, as far as God is concerned, we are holy. That's his purpose. That's what he's up to. It's not to make us happy. So God's purpose is his kingdom, his rule and reign over the lives of people, the redemption of sinners, so that all those who believe can become like Jesus Christ and in and through that bring glory to the Father and the Son. So what does it mean, then, by doing works and greater works? You say, buddy, I appreciate what you had to say, but you seem to be dodging the question. Okay, fair charge. What does he mean by his statement concerning, you will do the works that I have done, those who believe will do the works that I have done, and greater works than these will you do? Here it is. Wake up the person next to you if they snoozed off on us, okay? Jesus does not mean works in a power context. Jesus does not mean greater power will you have than I have. What Jesus is talking about here is the extent of the work that he was doing. And the extent of the work he was doing was not healing people and turning water into wine or whatever else. What he was doing was bringing people to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, so that the Father would be glorified in and through what he was doing. So when you see the word works here, think of it in the context of extent, not of power. To a greater extent, those who believe will advance the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, greater than I do. He's not talking about temporal works. He's talking about spiritual works. Now, folks, when you grab hold of that, what he's saying here makes all the sense in the world. Because we've got thousands of years of history to verify the fact that he hasn't healed everybody that got sick. Right? Greater works focused on the kingdom. When Jesus was here, his mission focused on 12 people. We call them apostles, okay? He's talking to 11 now. Judas is gone. He has gone to betray him. So his ministry when he was here was focused on 12 people and one nation, the Jewish people. If that bothers you, go read it, okay? He said, I've come but for the lost house of Israel. And he carried on his ministry among these 12 people and those who might be looker-oners in a 2,800 square mile area. About 70 miles by 40 miles is what the Holy Land would have been. He focuses on 12 people in a 2,800 square mile area, and perhaps thousands were touched by his ministry. But when you shook it all down, there were only 120 people in the upper room before Pentecost. Those were the true believers, I guess. We don't know a lot of their names. But that's the extent of Jesus' ministry when he was here, geographically and people-wise. Compare that, folks, with the billions of people who have believed since he ascended to heaven. Jesus dealt with a few thousand. Billions of people have believed for thousands of years all around the world. Do we understand then that's what he's talking about? The gospel message that changes lives. We could spend the rest of the afternoon as people filed up here and told you about the miracle that Jesus Christ did in their life when he brought them to salvation. They're not the person they used to be. They're not the person they're going to be. But praise God, they're not the person they used to be. And there's no explanation except Christ and Christ alone. And that has gone on to the tune of touching billions of lives for thousands of years all around the world. Not only will you do the works that I have done, bringing the gospel message to lost humanity, but you will do greater works than I have done. And it's happened. All the sick people haven't been healed. It can't be a power work. But the extent of the purpose of the gospel message, that was his mission, has been accomplished to his glory. And I know that as he looks down and he sees the millions, billions who have believed, he said, that's what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about. Well, let's close this morning with the formula to fulfill his teaching. Okay? Now fasten your seatbelt here, okay? This is going to get good. Alright? This is going to get good. The formula to fulfill the teaching. Because I am going to the Father, he said, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. Let me back up. And greater works than these will you do because I'm going to the Father. I have to go to the Father in order for this to be fulfilled, is what he's saying. All right? Greater works than these will you do because I'm going to the Father. Listen to this. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Woohoo! I told you that seatbelt better be on. That's living. You may be a Chiefs fan and getting anxious to get out and watch the Chiefs, but folks, this is better than the Chiefs. This is good stuff. All right? And you want to know something? It is right on true. Listen to me. 1 John, same writer, 1 John 5:14-15, a verse that you've heard me quote before. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Same Holy Spirit, same writer, same word. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now hang on, if you're still back there in the power group, you need to come up to the front of the bus, okay? We're not talking about power. We're talking about extent. So what we pray is in the context of what? The kingdom. The kingdom. And I promise you this, and we'll lose some folks on this one probably, the Methodists, I guess, maybe, I don't know. Some okay. This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. You mean to tell me that he doesn't hear all of our prayers? Well, there's a couple things. He has to make sure it's his prayer, and then he hears it. You with me? So we have to know what his will is before we ask. Well, what happens to all the prayers that I've said that God bring me a hot fudge sundae or whatever, and I wanted it really bad, or I wanted my daughter to get into Harvard University, and she didn't get in. God didn't answer my prayer. He didn't even hear your prayer, friend. He didn't even hear your prayer. He said so. This is the confidence that I have in him. John said that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears that. He doesn't hear all that other shotgun stuff. Prayer needs to be an experience with a rifle. We've got deer season starting next week. Is that right? All right. Lose about half of you in here. Some of you guys too, I guess. All right. I could go to the weeds in a hurry here. I'm not going. No temptation has taken a man except there be one, okay? I doubt if any of you that are deer hunters, I'm putting deer hunters, I wish I didn't have them at my place, though. It gets a little bit hairy out there, okay, when doing this ever, out in the pasture. But when you go deer hunting, you don't hunt with a shotgun. Okay? You hunt with a shotgun, no slug, a shotgun, and you're probably going to come home with no deer. Because those of you who don't know, okay, a shotgun is a lot of little pellets being scattered out over a pretty good area. All right? One of those is not going to bring down a deer. No, you hunt with a rifle, with a scope. And you zero in and boom, look at that one I got. I missed an 8-point buck on the highway this morning going home, okay? You got to come in the early morning prayer time, bring your gun, you can get your deer on the way home, all right? Right? Folks, that's what prayer is. We pray with a rifle, not a shotgun. We don't throw up a bunch of prayers, say, oh, look at that. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking according to his will, his revealed will to us concerning that situation, and then asking that in his name, and that's what he's going to do. Because he already told us he was going to, and he's already planning for that to be done. Do you see how that can change your prayer life? Do you care? You don't want to go on without prayer. It's our lifeblood. And what he's saying here, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What would he be listening for? That which relates to the kingdom. Okay? The rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of human beings, you and me. Now, that can come in different contexts. If he puts a burden that, I need to pray for Chuck to get a job. Okay? Lord, what's your will for Chuck? And I spend maybe days asking him, searching his word. And then he gives me his will. Or he doesn't. But when he does, I begin to pray specifically for Chuck related to what he has revealed in and through his word concerning Chuck and his kingdom. Now you see, if a person is yet to believe, is it God's will that all men be saved? Now we can nail that one right up front, can't we? Lucy, up here on the front row, okay, is lost. I need to pray for Lucy to believe in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That is His will. He is going to hear that prayer. You see? Well, we want 5,000 here by the first of the year. 5,000 attending church here. God, I pray You'll bring 5,000. That's not my will either, okay? Man, a few hundred occupy our days and nights, okay? I don't know what these people do with 5,000. I don't know what that is, okay? I'm not saying it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm just saying, I don't know. Okay, all right? You see, a lot of the things we ask for our good and our glory, He hears that which is according to His will for His glory. You see? You see? You say, well, might not have a lot to say when I pray. Now you're catching it. You see, prayer is I speak, God hears, God speaks, I hear. Prayer needs to be as much listening as does talking. And waiting. And as we're reading His Word, He is speaking. Are we listening? And His will is revealed in His Word. Do we see? We're beyond the make me feel good and make me happy, aren't we, Lord? If we look at this passage as we need to. When you ask in My name, I hear, and this will I do, what is asked, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what this is all about. Because God is glorified when His will is done in His Son and through His Son. Therefore, if you ask anything in My name. Now, this is not a mechanical utterance. Okay? In Jesus' name. Powerful, but not mechanical. Just because you tag that on doesn't mean that. No, no. Asking in His name is what He gave us to ask in His name. Not just tagging on that at the end. If you ask anything in My name, this powerful proposal in Jesus' name for the purpose of glorifying the God the Father, that's what He said, I'll do it. I will do it. I don't want you to leave this morning and say, Wheeler's beating up on the charismatics. I'm not, no. Okay? I cringe at some of the hurt that's been caused through the years. People who have literally walked away from a point of belief because something they named, claimed, whatever, didn't happen. They felt betrayed, lied to, all those kind of things. No, no, no. What I want us to do is to see what He's talking about. And to get involved in the works He was talking about. Bringing people to the kingdom. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. We can pray big time, number one, okay? And then we go as He directs and say what He gives us to say. You know, a lot of folks are saying, well, I don't know what I'd say. Good! Good! Just go up there without script and without plan and just say, all right, Lord, it's Your game. What do you want me to say? And He will give you at that time what He wants you to say. I don't know what it'll be. You know, you go up there with a script. Unless it's His script, I know what's going to happen. It may punch you, okay? His works for His glory. Let's pray. Father, many of us have observed, maybe even participated. Father, as we interpret this passage you gave us today, talking about the power works that Jesus did. But Lord, I pray that we've understood today that Jesus was talking about the works he did as in advancing the kingdom. I pray we'd go there first. Father, I pray that we would see that and know that you still do miracles. You're a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. You still work in people's lives in ways we can't define or understand. And Lord, there are occasions when you may use somebody in a way that just mystifies. Lord, but your focus is always about advancing your kingdom in and through those works. Works not for power, but to extend your gospel to the four corners of the earth. I pray we'd understand that today. And Father, teach us to pray. That's what the disciples asked. All the things they could have asked Jesus at that point, and the one thing that they wanted him to do was teach us to pray. I pray we'd have a hunger for prayer according to your definition of prayer. All for your glory. In Jesus' name.